May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Song of Solomon, for those of you who have not been exposed to it much, is a book of poetry, actually. It's written in metaphors. It says one thing, but it's speaking of other realities. And the Jewish people always considered it the greatest book in the Bible. It was only read once a year on the Day of Atonement. Because to them it revealed God's heart of intimacy for his people. But they also saw it as a prophetic story about the Messiah. And he was going to be the great manifestation of God's love for his people. And so the Song of Solomon has language that's unusual than any other place in Scripture, but it really speaks of who we are in Christ, our union with Christ, and being in Christ and Christ in us. So you have this great dialogue going on between Solomon and this Shulamite. And the Shulamite's the believer. There are others here, the daughters of Jerusalem, they're believers, but they're not really concerned about going farther up and further in, pressing into really walking out their surrendered union with Christ. But the Shulamite has a passion for this. The love of Christ has won her heart. She wants to experience everything that Jesus has. When you get to near the end of the book in this little story, she makes the statement. She says, we, now this is the Shulamite speaking to Solomon, which is Jesus, we have a little sister. She has no breasts. What can we do for our little sister on the day that she was spoken for? And the whole idea of the breasts is being able to nurture others. One of the signs of immaturity in the Lord is that you're still just concerned about yourself. You're not able to nurture and to feed other people. And then the response is, if she's a wall, we shall build on her battlements of silver. But if she is a door, we shall barricade her with planks of cedar. Cedar in the Song of Solomon and generally throughout Scripture speaks of the new creation. And what he says is that if she's a wall, she's already settled in her heart to live a separate, set-apart life, then we'll just teach her how to walk and manifest victory, battlements of silver. But if she's still a door, if she really doesn't understand who she is in Christ, she doesn't really understand that the moment she became a Christian, she landed into a set-apart life. See, my old self doesn't die apart from the cross. My old self died at the cross. I know we get this all kind of in stages experientially, but the choice to live a surrendered life was settled when I got saved. That's part of the problem that we as Westerners, we preach the gospel like, you come pray the prayer, and then the God's going to get you to raise your hands, and we can count them, and then sort of keep up the numbers so we look like we're doing really good. But we really didn't call you forth to a wasted life. We just called you forth to a decision. Now we can say you're a Christian, you're in the role, you're going to heaven one day, and then we're going to convince you as time goes by that you should live a life of holiness, set apart life. But the old self was crucified with Christ. That happened at the cross. And the moment you become a Christian, that becomes true about you. It was accomplished at the cross. It's realized at your new birth. It's manifested as we walk in faith. That was part of the decision. I'm not the old self anymore. I'm going to receive who I am as a new creation. And the statement here in the Song of Solomon is, if she's a door, if she still doesn't understand that she's already been set apart, that's part of her identity and her union with Christ, and therefore they're still like in and out of the world, the door going in and out, not a wall, we'll just nail planks of cedar on that door. Our calling is to call forth the new creation. See, real inner healing, we have this inner healing weekend coming this starting today. It's really not an inner healing weekend. It's a fullness of Christ weekend. It's discover who you are in Christ and walk it out weekend. Inner healing and deliverance is just pulling down strongholds that may keep you from seeing that. But real inner healing or real ministry is always simply trying to convince a person that they've already been set free in Christ. They're already whole in Christ. To call forth the new creation. To convince them of the finished work of Christ. We're not trying to add anything to the finished work. We're just wanting to boldly declare to them what Jesus has already done. Now start walking in it. Believe it. The old depressed self died. Dead people aren't depressed. And the depressed person is dead. So, wait a minute. That just goes against every... And I'm married to a psychologist. I understand. I mean, that was her deal. Edith's married to a psychologist. Well, that's going to put people out of business. I don't mean this bad against rich, but the rich would not mind that. Thank God Almighty. We're still spending time with Christians affirming to them that they're in bad shape, and we're going to help you inch out of that. Instead of saying to you, hello, Jesus said, it's completed. That's what the word is finished. It's been done. The hard part, and you would think it wouldn't be, but it is, isn't it? You got to believe the truth contrary to anything you might feel. Because if you'll start doing that, you'll start manifesting the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. And that's the truth. So Jesus said that all of his words, Bracken read this morning, are spirit and life. One of the ways you can tell the voice of God is that God speaks to you is going to be spirit and life. Never condemnation and guilt. Not hopelessness. Not how terrible you are. Jesus is always nailing planks of cedar on you. You're a new creation. Come forth. Believe that. Manifest that. It's the gospel of grace. I've done it. Just believe it and manifest it. That's what happened with Lazarus. What did Jesus do? He called forth. He called Lazarus forth. He calls forth new life. He couldn't call him forth if he wasn't already alive. When he called him forth, he was whatever happened in there, he was already, now he got alive, and then he called him forth. Called him forth, came alive, and he called him out. And then he told the people around him, now get rid of all the stuff he's wearing because that's not part of who he is anymore. That's for dead people to wear. It's got to be more complicated than that, doesn't it? I don't think so. I think that's why it's called good news. I mean, it's really good news. Here's the good news. This is what is just blowing my brains, my mind, my heart, my spirit. Everything starts. We should start any conversation about Christianity with that. Now, it's three words in English, but it's just one word, teleos. Every conversation about Christianity starts with, it is perfect. It is finished. It's been completed. And here's the cool thing. Well, this is where we'll start tonight. Craig, I thought about you because you love this stuff so much. That's in the perfect tense. It's something that he said. Perfect tense means it was completed action when he said it, it's done. And it stands true and real and alive every minute, every day. That's just awesome. So really what we're going to be doing this weekend, we're going to be going, well, come forth, new creation. Now let's just get rid of all that junky thing you are anymore. That was part of the dead guy. Dead guy's gone. You're not the dead guy. Alive in Christ. And Jesus is what's true about you. Whew. Amen.